Final furlong left to go. Change of control goes to a narrow advantage. Digging in, Jeannie B down toward the inside. Going Good is still right there in the third spot. But inside the final 16th, it's Colby Hernandez and Change of Control in front. Jeannie B, second Change of Control, going to win the Andy Guest.
The Races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
The call you heard at the very beginning of the show was for Change of Control, winning the Andy Guest Stakes at Colonial Downs earlier in the meet. It's Groundhog Saturday for Change of Control's trainer, Michelle Lovell. She is back up at Saratoga trying to defend her undefeated status. She had an incredible win with Damon's Mound last week in the Saratoga Special. She's back up there today on a Saturday, and I'm telling you, it has just been a crazy week at Colonial Downs. Just a thrilling week. Huge Tuesday of racing action that might have had a little bit of controversy. What's horse racing? It's supposed to be a simple game, right? But what's horse racing without at least a little bit of controversy? And it's not really a big controversy, just very compelling stakes racing action on Tuesday. Thanks for spending your Saturday mornings with us on Off to the Races. I'm your host, Nick Hahn. On today's show, we'll speak with Daryl Wood here in just a few moments. We'll have Paul Espinoza next Friday night. It's the Charlestown Classic, $1 million race up in the panhandle of, I think that's a panhandle of West Virginia, up there at Charlestown. Michelle Lovell will join us in about 30 minutes on Off to the Races, and Derby Bill will handicap some stakes races from Saratoga. We may even go outside the borders with Derby Bill. We don't do that very often, but maybe even get a pick or two as there's a big day at Woodbine. But just in case I botch the opening, let's see how the trainers size up as they greet us into the show this morning.
Hi, this is Jerry Robb here at Colonial Downs. Just want to thank everyone for being here and supporting the meet, and good luck to everyone.
Hi, this is Kelsey Danner. Welcome to Colonial Downs. Have a good time. I don't know. Thank you for your support.
Hi, folks. This is Mike Tomlinson, trainer here at Colonial Downs. Welcome to the races, and good luck.
Hi, this is Michelle Lovell here at Colonial Downs. We're having a great time. Really appreciate everybody's support.
Yeah, hi, this is Michael Stidham, and we're at Colonial Downs and having a great day, beautiful weather, and love being here. Great racing and good people.
Yeah, it's good people, good trainers, and they all had exceptional weeks here. Talking about Michael Tomlinson, he started off that Tuesday by setting a track record with Chakra on the first race of the day, setting a new track record, 1:15 75 tenths of a second, going 6.5 furlongs, setting a track record there. But we heard from Jerry Robb, Michelle Lovell, Michael Stidham, Kelsey Danner. They all had good weeks at Colonial Downs, and as part of our recap of the stakes action, kind of doing this a little bit different. If you're a regular to the show, the recap will be in a little bit of a different format here. We'll start with the Seeking the Pearl Stakes, where there was a field of 8 going to the gate, and trainer John Robb was really concerned about the start of his filly, Philly Despirit, with Xavier Perez aboard. Here's how track announcer Jason Beam called the Seeking the Pearl and the other stakes races on the day.
Wide open here as they have a final furlong left to go. Philly Desprit coming through down along the inside. Calypso also coming up. These are the two that go on. Caribbean Caper is beat back in third. Final 16th to go. Philly Desprit, Xavier Perez, a rail skimming ride to win the Seeking the Pearl Stake.
Jockey Xavier Perez.
But when that horse stopped in front of me, I have to change course and, you know, I kind of check it off her heels a little bit. It was a little bit too close for my liking, but it seemed like she, like when I grabbed it, I'm took off running, yeah.
Less than an hour later, Didier emerged from a wall of horses in the old Nelson.
3/16 of a mile left to go. Cheermeister trying to see it out. Here's Didier looking for a split in between runners, trying to come after them. Also right there in a hurry down the far outside is Alms. The picture changing here at the 16th pole. Didier comes up front. Alms down the outside. These are the two that go on. Alms on the outside of Didier. Didier holding on. Alms on the outside. It's Didier and Alms. Here's the wire. Didier holds on to win.
Jockey Vincent Chaminade.
Yeah, this filly is very good. The last time she went very easy. And today we had a very good race because the piece was very fast and it was very good for us. My filly was very relaxed and she finished very well inside. For me, it's a good filly and she will progress for the next time.
Early on in the Buckland Stakes, King Vega found himself in an unfamiliar spot on the lead.
But they better come get King Vega. King Vega slips into the stretch in front, 3.5 now. Eon's Beacon Hill. English Tavern continues to mow him down the side of the track, is way on the outside. Baker's Bay trying to run on with Iman. But a final 16th to go, and it's King Vega well clear here. King Vega in front by 3.5. Militarist toward the inside. English Tavern down the outside. King Vega all the way.
Jockey Angel Suarez.
Worked out good because this horse is usually coming off the pace. And it's a little tough to relax and stuff like that, but usually once he turns for home, he's got this big kick. But today when I left the gate, nobody really went after me. So instead of like fighting my horse, I just rather let him just run free and get comfortable underneath him. And I mean, it worked out good. He relaxed really nice. And once I tied up the reins by the 3-8, he was all business. I was loaded, you know.
And then the Chesapeake Stakes turned into a real scramble.
They have a final furlong left to go in the Chesapeake. It's Just Might in front. Jalen Journey looking for a split. Necker Island factored in. The Gray is battling in tight quarters. Four of them right across the track. It's a back alley brawl past the 16th pole. In between horses, Jalen Journey. Necker Island on the outside. Necker Island prevailing. Jalen Journey tries to battle back. Necker Island got it.
However, Necker Island was disqualified to third for continuously drifting in, and Jalen Journey was awarded the win. Winning trainer Norman Cash.
This isn't the biggest race he's won. He's won big races, so he has talent. He just found it today. You know, great ride too. My gosh, that's amazing ride right there. He did exactly what we asked. Necker's beaten a couple other my horses through the years in Kentucky there, and you know, Just Might was also in this. And
yeah,
and I mean those are really good horses. But you know, Jalen won a grade three, if I'm not mistaken, last year. In Maryland, and so yeah, he's a nice quality horse. We're excited to have him. Really excited to have him in the barn. This is our second stakes win as a trainer, and so this is pretty sweet, pretty special.
Very special Tuesday at Colonial Downs. Philippe Desprit with Xavier Perez actually had to take him up a little bit on the rail and then came through. When talking with John Robb before the race, he mentioned that he was just concerned about the start. If the horse got a good start, everything would go well. That's kind of what happened until about the top of the stretch, maybe the 3/16 pole, and Xavier Perez had to take Philippe Desprit up a little bit, but managed to find room on the rail. Didier with a nice win there for Vincent Chaminade, an underrated jockey at Colonial Downs for Ignacio Carreras. King Vega with Angel Suarez aboard. That was his first win at Colonial Downs. Congratulations, a stakes win, a memorable win for him. And then just maybe we'll touch on this with Daryl Wood here in a moment with the Chesapeake Stakes, where Kentucky Derby starter Necker Island, Jalen Journey, and Factor It In were all together there. Even Just Might was there, but they basically ran side by side by side from the top of the stretch in. And I mean, when they were side by side, they were all together there. Eventually, I think it was Jalen, who was it? Factor It In may have been the one that actually had to take up a little bit. The gray horse there, I want to say that was Factor It In. And Necker Island, even though he won, got disqualified and placed third through the Stewart's ruling for continuously drifting in. It was a hard, if I had to make a decision with my limited Stewart's knowledge, I probably would have taken Necker Island down as well. I don't think it was as easy as many thought it was to take this horse down. There was no aha or gotcha moment during the run. It was just a gradual drifting in. Necker Island does, of all things, keep the track record. Despite disqualification, he's listed as having the actually, man, I wonder if they changed that. They may have reverted that back. I saw an earlier chart that showed Necker Island with the records. I'm not sure who holds that record. Darryl Wood, do you know?
Of course. Every half a length is 0.10 seconds. And the record was it was a 0.14 cushion between the Necker Island's finishing time and the previous record holder. So, yeah, given that one half length victory, he falls still in the track record, one about 0.04 seconds. So, yeah, it was quite an interesting 15, 20 minutes waiting for things to get sorted out. But like you said, it was hard. I mean, we were in the winner's circle. There's probably 20 people there waiting, and there was divided opinions, you know, right across the board. So tough job the stewards have got, no doubt.
Yeah, I wonder if that was a unanimous decision. They did take a long time to look at it. I think I would have probably sided the same way. It was amazing to see that horse watch the replay on the big screen. Not the jockey, not the owner, not the trainer. The horse sat there as he was circling about, and he paused every time around to look at the jumbo. Did you happen to pick up on that?
I thought a stunning picture. You beat me to the social media posting, though. I like the shot you got. I debated whether to post mine or not, but it's got the entire horse looking at the inquiry objection, and there was no trainer around. The trainer was actually buried behind the horse's leg, so it was the horse itself with the inquiry objection sign. And I wanted to put the caption, the old Clash song, should I stay or should I go? But you beat me to it.
Yeah, Darryl, I'm a little remiss here. I do want to play some appropriate intro music for you as we welcome you back on Off to the Races. Go ahead and hit it if you have it ready.
Old Dominion, just southeast of heaven to the surf and the hills. The best of 13 sisters and 37 more. Sweet, sweet Virginia.
Do you know this song? You might have heard it a little bit over the last 2 weeks.
Well, that should be the state song, and I know a whole lot of people that agree with it because that's the best state song I've ever heard, and it's not the state song, but let's not go there.
We're going to make you a Virginian through all of this, I think. I think you'll renounce your New York loyalties and become a Virginian after all. That's Eddie from Ohio, in case you don't know. Darryl did a little bit of cruising with Eddie on their Sayonara tour, but it's good to hear your voice. Good to see you back at Colonial Downs.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Nick, this past week, hopefully some of your listeners made it out there, but the weather, it's got to be, I've been here 24 years, and it probably was the greatest three consecutive race days weather-wise in the summertime. I mean, not a drop of perspiration, you know, temperature in the 70s, no humidity, just fantastic to be out there. Really nice crowd Tuesday, better crowd on Wednesday. And believe it or not, there's only 9 race days to go. So we are definitely, coming out of the final turn, about to hit the home stretch. So fans that might have, you know, put this on the back burner, 9 race days to go this season.
Yeah, a little bit of a lull this week in the stakes action only. Looking at the cards, they're just as tough as they always are. And you know that from Nick's picks. You know, Nick's picks right now started to wear women's underwear. You know, it's just been a tough stand for Nick's picks this year. I asked Jim McKay what he thought about the execution of Nick's picks, and he said, I'm in favor of it. It's just been a tough year, handicapping-wise, but it's been an enjoyable meet. Great, great meet. What do we see the rest of the way?
Yeah, just going back to your point there, it seemed really chalky early in the season, but boy, I love looking at the Times Dispatch every morning and looking at the results from the day before, and you could just see the payoffs from race to race right in front of you, and you can tell that a lot of mid-priced horses are coming in now, where the payoffs were $4 and $5, now they seem to be $14, $16, $18, so getting tougher to pick, but yeah, Nick, 9 days to go, the biggest day still to come, Virginia Derby Day, that's going to be Tuesday, September 6th. Kind of an oddball day because it's the day after Labor Day, and that's kind of when people switch gears a little bit toward back to school, back to work and stuff. But there's 6 stakes races that day. I know the effort at the track among the staff, management, and horsemen being made into making that the greatest day in Virginia racing history and to try to generate the biggest betting handle ever on that day. So folks really should mark that down. Tuesday, September 6th at 1:45. It'll be amazing. Hello?
Yeah, Daryl.
Oh, you are there. Okay.
I think we might be back. Just for whatever reason, may have had a little hiccup in the feed, but actually a good time to pull up here anyway. We got to move on. We got Paul Espinosa and Michelle Lovell coming up, but just to wrap things up.
Yeah, no, just again, racing this coming week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 1:45. Again, 9 days left to go. Go to colonialdance.com, virginiahorseracing.com. All the information is there, and after that, we slide into harness racing and some great steeplechase racing this fall. So lots to do in Virginia, horse racing-wise, the rest of the season.
We'll have plenty more on the upcoming shows. Daryl, thanks a lot. Welcome back.
You got it, Nick. Thanks much.
Great. Daryl Wood joining us on Off to the Races this morning. Going to reach out to Paul Espinosa here. Just in the meantime, that Tuesday with the I don't know how controversial. I don't think it was very impactful on the handicapping contest, but did want to announce they did have the handicapping classic at Colonial Downs. William Sherman, the overall winner, scoring a little over $5,000 off a $300 bankroll. Yeah, I think that'll win you a few contests. Tim Hughes, second place, also earning a trip to the national contest, either the NHC or the, I think it's the BR, I think the Breeders' Cup handicapping contest. Chris Larney. And Eric Kuzel also there. Lisa Ramirez also got in with a piece of the purse, their fifth. But the top four, they're earning tickets for the national contest. One also mentioned Mike Barone, a very respectable, I need to have him do my picks again, 13th overall. So a great effort there by Mike Barone, almost getting up there in the top money. But Paul Espinosa now joins us, the track announcer at Charlestown Racing and Slots. And he joins us now on Off to the Races, the Charlestown Classic next Friday night. And Paul, it's just a busy time of year. There's news on every circuit, I think, right now of some sort. Most of it good, a little bit bad here and there, but good news for Charlestown this week is you have the Charlestown Oaks and the Charlestown Classic this Friday night.
Absolutely. It's the best time of year here at Charlestown, the biggest night that we have each and every year. The Grade 2, $1 million Charlestown Classic, Grade 3, $500,000 Charlestown Oaks. Should be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of stuff planned here at the track. If your folks want to make the trip up 95 there, we've should be a great night. Live entertainment out on the track apron. Lots of food trucks, contests. I hear there's a petting zoo apparently, so we're going to have all the bases covered. Not to mention some really great racing action that we're looking forward to.
One thing that Charlestown has, it's different. It is so different from Colonial Downs in so many ways. But one thing it has that Colonial doesn't have is the town. I mean, it's the hospitality there is great. The lodging there, you can hold races comfortably on a Friday night, like the Classic, and that works to your advantage. You know, tell us just a little before we get into maybe who may be running and who may not be. Tell us a little bit just about the Charlestown Classic, its history, kind of the nuances. $1 million race on a small oval track. You don't see that very often, $1 million race being run at night. While it's a little bit different, it does provide a lot of opportunities.
It does. Just to kind of touch on, you mentioned the town. Obviously, I'm actually born and raised here. I grew up 15 minutes from the track, so it is home for me. And, you know, Charlestown, we're nestled in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. We're about an hour and 15 minutes away from both D.C. and Baltimore. A lot of great history and, great scenery and nature all around us. So you get a little bit of everything, a small town feel for sure. The Charlestown Classic was the invention of Eric Zimney, our former vice president of racing operations, who actually just parted ways with us, but he's still in the company. He decided to head over to our Columbus, Ohio property, but it was his idea to really try to give us a race that would get people talking about Charlestown and kind of change how people felt about Charlestown. Obviously, for so long, we were just that nighttime track that, you know, you don't really think of a lot of quality racing at Charlestown. It was more quantity. We wanted to kind of change that mindset and let people know that, hey, you know, we can hang with the big boys. And so at least one night a year, we do just that. We hang with the big boys. The move to Friday night here recently, we've combined the Charlestown Classic and the Oaks. The Classic kind of used to be held in April, and then the Oaks was kind of in the fall, sometime either August or September. Well, it was forced together because of the pandemic. Obviously, whenever things shut down around the country around March or so, that meant that an April Classic wasn't going to be able to happen. So then whenever things kind of started to open back up slowly that year, we were able to combine the Classic and the Oaks cards. And it's really been nice because, A, for some of the big trainers and owners around the country, if you're going to have a horse for the Classic, there's a good chance you're going to have a horse maybe that you'd want to send on the van for the Oaks as well. But B, the other thing about being on a Friday night, it allows the connections from up at Saratoga to, last year, this was the perfect example. Luis Saez rode the card at Saratoga on a Friday. He was able to get on a plane, come to Charlestown and ride Charlestown at night, and then still be back at Saratoga the next day for their big day of racing, which normally is Traverse Day. So that's a little bit behind the scenes there as to, you know, kind of backstory of where we're at here and how we got here with the Classic now, a grade two $1 million race, and the Oaks, a grade three $500,000 race.
Now, you do have a chance to have a repeat winner this year with Art Collector. I think I saw 56 nominations here, Art Collector winning. You mentioned Luis Saez and Bill Mott winning last year's running of the Charlestown Classic. Interesting history with this race, even though it hadn't been around all that long. It does have a lot of repeat winners with horses like Imperative and Researcher, who was a Virginia bred. But the Art Collector is going to come back and try and defend his title. Who's going to play the role of spoiler?
Well, it's definitely interesting to kind of see how it's coming together. You know, you mentioned obviously both Researcher and Imperative, the two horses who have been able to win multiple classics. Researcher is still the only one to be able to go back to back, and he won the first two classics. He was a locally based horse for trainer Jeff Runco, and so our collector going to try to buck that trend a little bit. Speaking of Runco, he has one of the more intriguing horses that we'd like to consider him a probable, and it's the local horse Muad'Dib. He's a perfect 10 for 10, a West Virginia bred. He's never faced open stakes company. His only stakes tries have been against West Virginia breds. But again, that if he's able to get into the race, Jeff Runco definitely interested in trying to get his third classic win. Obviously, like I said, he won the first two there with Researcher. So he would be an interesting local horse that would add some flair. But in terms of some other probables from around the country, it's always nice to kind of start your race by talking about two grade one winners. And so obviously Art Collector, after winning our race last year, he went on to have some success and he won the Woodward grade one up at Belmont. And then Mind Control is the other grade one winner that right now is considered a probable for Todd Pletcher, and just a really cool horse who obviously started off as a grade one winner at two. And then he can kind of do it all. He can sprint, he can go long. Here recently, he's been going longer. And so Todd sees fit to point him in our direction. Should be a very interesting kind of a clash of styles, because I feel like both Art Collector and Mind Control kind of like to be up close to the pace. And so that's definitely something to watch. Also good to have a potential appearance from the coach, D. Wayne Lucas. He's going to be sending Last Samurai. He's a probable for the race as well. He's a horse that has obviously had some success. He won the Oaklawn Handicap this year for D. Wayne. And I tell you, he's also another one that's just a cool, hard-knocking horse for a four-year-old son of Malibu Boone. Looking forward to getting him here to Charlestown. Then after that, it's a lot of kind of 50-50 horses. I will say that officiating is a horse for Staffy Joseph, who I'd say is definitely he's been in the press as a Daily Racing Forum is pointing to our race. He just coming off a win in the Cornhusker Handicap. But then the other ones that are kind of 50-50 right now are going to kind of keep an eye on the entries and the changes up at Monmouth today, because the local horse or locally based horse Riding with Biden, he's kind of been racing all around the Mid-Atlantic. He's entered up in the Island up at Monmouth today, but his connections have indicated that it's possible that they scratch and point to our race. So we'll keep an eye on that here in the next hour or so. Tax for Danny Gargan is another one that's 50-50 on the beat, kind of on the fence. And then last name I'll mention, Haywood's Beach for John Sadler, actually potentially thinking about hopping on the plane and heading east. So again, it's definitely we're looking at another deep, contentious field, but certainly have some star power at the top with a couple of Grade One winners in Art Collector and Mind Control.
Yeah, Mo Deeb, I'm sure like the fingers shifted when they gave the official name for that horse, because that is probably the most complicated spelling of of a horse there. But with Ronco, 10 wins. So this isn't a horse coming in with three or four wins trying to. This is a horse that has proven himself over and over. And then Last Samurai for Lucas, not only do you have the veteran with Lucas, but you'll probably have the veteran in John Court, who is in his 60s riding there. He's been named on all amounts previous to Last Samurai, a horse that won a race at Colonial Downs last summer. So, interesting field there. When are the entries out, just to so our listeners can look for them?
So we're going to be drawing on Tuesday. So Tuesday for next Friday. So again, we are 6 days out from the race and just a couple days out from entries, and definitely going to be a fluid situation with both the Classic and the Oaks. But those are definitely some of the names that we've got on our radar.
Yeah, Tax there being a Derby starter as well, so very accomplished there. Well, Paul, we appreciate you. Do you, by the way, do you use binoculars at Charlestown when you call the races, or is it small enough and close enough you don't need them?
I do use them, and that is a good point that when talking kind of about the mystique of Charlestown, it's a great place to watch races too, because you don't need binoculars to follow your horse, but to kind of have the specifics, and if you're doing the calling like I'm doing, it's probably best to have them. But you could definitely get by without them if you're a fan.
Yeah, I've absolutely dropped the binoculars there. That's very convenient. Good thing about smaller track racing, no binoculars needed. Paul, we appreciate you spending some time with us on Off to the Races this morning. We'll be watching next Friday night. Good luck with the Classic.
Sounds good. Thank you, Nick.
Great. Paul Espinoza joining us on Off to the Races this morning. When we come back on Off to the Races, we'll reach out for Michelle Lovell, who is having a very different and very similar week of this weekend, or at least similar weekend here. She's up at Saratoga. She's usually down at Colonial Downs during the week, and we'll talk to her on the other side when we get back on Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features 7 stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June, with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
The leading sire of PA bred two-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first-ever Pennsylvania 2-Year-Old Stallion Series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as harness racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy Hour Racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock and on September 17th, it's free long-sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family friendly.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com.
More days, more money, more fun, Colonial Downs. More days, count them, 9 weeks of racing in 2022. More money, more than $600,000 in average daily purses. And Virginia bred, sired, and certified runners race for more money in our restricted program and bonuses in open company races. More fun, more turf racing than anywhere else in the country. And new this year, a low 12% takeout on the Pick 5. Colonial Downs, more days, more money, more fun. First post Monday through Wednesday, 1:45.
Back live on Off to the Races. Frank Vespi actually taking a weekend off, well deserved. Hardest working racing professional in Maryland. Always working, always at the track, either Laurel and actually Timonium on the night that the Charlestown Classic is run. It's also opening day at Timonium, and Frank's going to be hosting the signal through the Timonium races. So opportunity of talking about short racing, short oval racing with the Charlestown Classic also there with Timonium just around the corner as well. But just around the corner today is the running of stakes race, the Smart and Fancy up at Saratoga. And going back up there, trying to defend her undefeated status, is Michelle Lovell, and she joins us now on Off to the Races. Michelle, I know that you had the big, nice win up there last week, but I bet you're hoping it's going to be Groundhog Saturday today as you go with Change of Control in the Smart and Fancy Stakes. Let's maybe start with the Saratoga Special, and we do have the stretch run here. This was a very exciting moment for you. John Embriel has the call of the Saratoga Special last week.
It is Super Chow in front here, now by a length and a half. And then comes Gulfport as Valenzan Day has dropped out of it. Damon's Mound now makes his move on the outside. Oh, Gulfport had a steady there. Gulfport had to check coming to the top of the stretch. The half went in 45 seconds. It is Super Chow and Damon's Mound on the outside, and Gulfport trying to get back in it again. It is Damon's Mound who now has come away with the lead. Super Chow runs in second, and Gulfport is third. Farther back, Valenzan Day as they head for the 16th pole. Damon's Mound has built a four-length lead. Gulfport in second, and it will be Damon's Mound to win the 117th Saratoga Special.
A little bit of a break for Damon's Mound with Gulfport having to take up there, but that doesn't mean this horse doesn't have talent and certainly has been impressive. Michelle, thanks for joining us on Off to the Races this morning.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
What were your thoughts as Damon's Mound came down the stretch? Two-year-old in your first start at Saratoga in a stretch race, in a stretch run there, in a stakes race. When that horse reached the 16th pole, you just must have been absolutely tickled.
Yes, I was. It was a couple of emotions going on. Obviously, you know, Gulfport getting steadied in the turn was a little bit of what just happened, and I hope we weren't involved in that, which I felt like we weren't. But you know, you don't know until you get to see it again. And Yeah, when he just rolled away, when he was rolling around the turn, I was like, wow, he's going to win this race. And what a great feeling, you know, to be here. I, you know, obviously had a lot of confidence in him to bring him here. He's a very nice horse. And he just backed it up. I think we would have won. I feel very confident in the fact that it would have been the same result. But, you know, it would have been nicer had nothing impeded Gulfport's trip either.
Damon's Mound won by 12 and a half lengths in his debut at Churchill Downs. So it's not as if this horse, you know, didn't have enough talent to take advantage of a situation like that. It would have been a very interesting stretch run. And I do have a feeling we'll see it somewhere down the line. When Colonial Downs reopened in 2019, a racing official came up to me and was asking about some of the new trainers that were coming to Colonial Downs. And I asked this racing official, you know, who should we focus on? We got whole new players here. Track's been closed for 6 years. Who are some of the trainers? And your name, believe it or not, was the first name mentioned. And I kind of had to go through, and I'd seen your name in programs and stuff before. But the comment was made, up and coming star. And it's taken maybe 3 years for that to surface. You were there as a leading trainer of the meet last year, and just 2020, you just draw a line through that, you know, with the corona and the natural disasters that seem to surface. So nobody's even really looking at 2020. But you've really sort of found a summer home at Colonial Downs, and it's now starting to progress with horses like Just Might and stuff to a national level. What has the last 3 years been like for you? Maybe tell us a little bit about your background before 2019.
Yeah, so it's been just a steady progression to get to, you know, sitting here right now outside of Change of Control stall at Saratoga, you know, for a second weekend in a row. Going to Colonial was going through the COVID and all the things that have been happening to, you know, the world, it was like, gosh, this might be the end of this career, because it's too heavy financially to carry if we're not getting an opportunity to win races. And, we made a choice to just get on a farm for a couple of months while we kind of waited out our racing, because we couldn't race at Churchill after our fairgrounds meet. And then we got, you know, going again, and I was like, wow, we're having a really good year. I thought it was going to be the worst year because it's the strangest year of my life, but it turned out to be, you know, 21 and 22 have been really great so far. 21 was awesome. My own horse, you know, won 7 stakes races. I think he was the only one in the nation to do it, which is, you know, huge for myself and my partner who raised him and race him. So yeah, it's just been incredible. And Change of Control, that's racing today, she's just been a superstar in the barn. She's just been a very, very big-hearted, classy individual that runs her race every time. And now we got another superstar in the barn that's got a huge potential future in front of him. So it's been a great, great couple of years.
We talked earlier in the week, and you were talking about how Just Might led you into Damon's Mound. Tell us how that happened.
Yeah, so I didn't know Mr. and Mrs. Love. I've seen their names many times in the programs. When he called me, I knew who he was by his name. And he just asked me if I was, you know, would have a stall when his horse is ready. And I was like, yeah, sure. So we kept in touch, and I did. And then one day, he told me, after, you know, I trained for him for a bit, he told me the reason why he chose me was, or his last, you know, the last thing that made him decide was when Just Might won a stakes race at in Louisville at Churchill. I think it was in September of last year. And he's like, you know, I take a look at that. He's 6 years old. And your other filly, you know, your filly Change of Control mare now, 6 years old, and they're running at a high level, at their high level, and they've, you know, they're still sound and and running at that level and doing so good. He's like, you know, that's the kind of trainer I want. Someone that, you know, can keep him sound and happy for a long time. And so just my, you know, he definitely helped him make a decision, which is great.
Just might won the stakes on the turf and on the dirt last summer at Colonial Downs, having a little bit of a tougher go this go around, but a change of control won the stakes for you, winning the Andy Guest. We have that call here, track announcer Jason Beam with the call of this year's Andy Guest at Colonial.
Three of them right across the track as they come to the top of the stretch. Change of control on the outside. Jeannie B digs in toward the inside. Going good. Still pitching away in between horses. 2.5 more lengths back to Social Chatter down the outside, who starts to run on. A final furlong left to go. Change of control goes to a narrow advantage. Digging in, Jeannie B down toward the inside. Going good is still right there in the third spot. But inside the final 16th, it's Colby Hernandez in change of control in front. Jeannie B, second change of control. Going to win the Andy Guest.
Nice win there in the Andy Guest there. A change of control, never worse than third. Something that you do see at Colonial Downs. You need speed coming out of the gate. You need speed late in the race. And that's exactly what change of control had as a winning formula. What does a six-year-old mare need today?
A good trip. I think the race, you know, it's a very salty spot. I think that there's a lot of nice fillies and mares in there, you know, in good form. Couple that had good form before had bad trips last time or what have you. And so, you know, I feel really confident in my mare because she brings it every time. She's just the consummate professional. And, you know, we drew inside. There's some speed in there. And she's got tracking speed. You know, she can rally from behind a little bit. And, yeah, there's some similar fillies like her. So I just think it's going to be who's best on today and gets the best trip. And I just feel very confident in her. She's going to give it her all. She's doing super.
She draws the rail 7-2 in the morning line. So a nice opportunity there. Want to maybe go back to Just Might, who was in that just scrambled wild running of the Chesapeake Stakes. What's up for Just Might? What's ahead?
Yeah, so that race, it was a scramble, and I think he would have held on to his third, but at the very last two jumps, Colby had to take a hold of him because that horse drifted in front of him. There was a lot of stuff going on there. You know, he's been running a long time and golly, you know, I can't ask any more from him. So he's doing good. The you know, surely he needs to get back in the winner's circle. And there's a stake race for him at Colonial again on the turf. The DeHaas, he won it last year. So, you know, and the thing about this year at Colonial is it was such a great meet for me last year. You know, and I was one of the few Kentucky trainers that went there because we were forced to leave Churchill down backside. A few of those trainers didn't come back, but more trainers showed up. So it's a little bit it's a more, I think, higher quality the horses that are running here. They saw how well we did, and so they're sending them. So, you know, we got to run a little bit harder. And I'm really proud that they had a stakes race for change of control. They did not have a Phillies sprint on the turf last year. I don't believe we didn't run it there. We shipped out. But we're going to try it again with Just Might if he's good to go before the meet ends.
We've got a Damon's Mound back at Colonial Downs. What's his week look like? And I see you have five horses coming up this week as well. Jack Gilligan getting a lot of the mounts this week. Maybe a little bit about Jack Gilligan and how Damon's Mound, what's up for him this week?
So Damon's Mound, you know, he's perfect. So, you know, he run his eyeballs out and shipped. So I'm just taking it easy with him. He'll get back to regular training next week. You know, I'm out of town, so we're kind of keeping him, you know, jogging and doing light work right now while I'm away. But, he'll be on his regular schedule. And then, Jack Gilligan, yeah, he's won some races with us. He's a very good rider. He's a friend. I think he's very talented. So you know, I gave him a horse that I thought would be a good one to get him a start back off of the injury last year, his injury, not my horse, and him. He won on a filly called Margie's Kitchen, her first time out. And, you know, he's gained some momentum on getting some good mounts and stuff. And so I think he's just a very good rider. And I think he's picking up the pace now, getting more live mounts too. So, good kid.
Colby Hernandez on Change of Control today in the Smart and Fancy Stakes. Jack Gilligan on Margie's Chicken. That's Margie's Kitchen, I should say.
Yeah.
Trying to combine Kitchen and Gilligan there. Margie's Kitchen on Tuesday, and then three more entered on Wednesday. Well, good luck today with Change of Control. We'll be rooting from you here from Virginia, and good luck with Damon's Mail and the rest of the way, and just happy to see you back up at Saratoga so quick. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Great. Michelle Lovell joining us on Off to the Races this morning, somewhere on the backstretch at Saratoga. She really is up and coming, has a bit of a jockey background as well. So she knows her onions and has plenty of experience, and just a great situation there. We're going to be reaching out for Derby Bill here in mere moments to get his handicap and see what he thinks about Saratoga's features today, which has the Alabama Stakes. Just a quick rundown on the trainer and jockey standings. Let's maybe start with the jockeys. Horacio Caramanis is leading the meet with 13 wins. Without looking, try and name the person he is tied with. Give you five guesses, you probably won't get it. Hevian Toledo has the co-leadership standing with Horacio Caramanis. Jan Aviles is in second position. Jareth Loveberry with 12 wins as well. So it's Horacio Caramanis, Hevian Toledo with 13 wins, Jan Aviles with 12 wins, Jareth Loveberry with 12 wins. And then you go back to Lionel Reyes and Victor Carrasco and Joe Rocco. Very interesting race for the jockey title this year at Colonial Downs. On the training side, Michael Stidham had an exceptional week. He rockets to the lead with 10 wins. He's actually getting a little bit of separation. Michael Trombetta has 7 wins, as Larry Ravelli does as well. But Michael Stidham, who was had a great meet in 2019 and has had good meets the rest of the way, currently sitting on top. He won 2 races on that Tuesday at Colonial Downs. That was just a great day of racing. Derby Bill now joins us on Off to the Races. And Derby Bill has become a program necessity, has his own bumper music. Let's see what he likes this week. Don't recognize it yet. Is this the Alabama Shakes, Derby Bill?
I believe it might be. It might be the real Alabama band.
No, we actually got the Alabama Shakes here. I think you put in an 11th hour request there. Didn't really know what you were asking for. We never really do. But, the Alabama Shakes. And, of course, that's because they run the Alabama today at Saratoga at the spa. And Derby Bill, welcome to the program. Has this been like a crazy week of racing? Has this been like one of the craziest weeks ever, not only for racing but also for news?
Well, news is definitely crazy with even today's races are affected by what happened in Saratoga, and it wasn't a pleasant thing. So, you know, usually in horse racing, it isn't a pleasant thing. It's either somebody getting suspended for something unexpectedly, and who gets suspended, it's unexpected. And Bob Baffert last year, and now we have Chad Brown this year. So it's kind of expected back in the 60s of a degeneration, but you'd think they'd learn their lesson by 2020.
It's That was a tough story to read. What Derby Bill is talking about is Chad Brown, a leading trainer, was arrested, I want to say it was on Wednesday, up in Saratoga on a domestic assault charge. Apparently, he was at home with company and his girlfriend came into his house. Apparently, she had a key, and that's when some bad stuff started to happen. And Brown was charged with basically with strangulation. Everybody was okay. The female left, the accuser left, and now it's all just, it's going to be a matter of the courts. Obviously a black eye for Chad Brown, regardless of the outcome. And there's plenty to read about it online through the Saratoga media and, of course, through the horse racing media. You know, these stories aren't to be ignored, and they're going to be handled. But this is going to have an impact on Chad Brown, who was back at his barn Friday morning with, you know, going back to work. And these players, if you will, are going to be the accuser apparently is an exercise rider who is also going to be up at Saratoga. They're probably going to be some awkward moments on the Saratoga backstretch, and just something we don't like to see in racing. But you know, it merits reporting.
The Alabama. You're talking about the Alabama music, the Alabama Shakes, the great country group Alabama, and the race. The Alabama is the feature today at Saratoga, and there's actually a horse Chad Brown trains called Gerrymandering, the three horse. So if there's people that bet on Irony, number three horse, Gerrymander, in the Alabama Stakes today.
Yeah, for an upset of Chad Brown, who's known to I think in a stakes earlier this year, he had 4 of the 10 starters. He's been known to have, you know, 3 of the 6 starters in some of these races. So here's a guy that basically has everything, and putting his career.
Really, he won the Preakness.
Yeah, with early voting. Rich Strike worked, by the way, in his preparations this week toward the Preakness, had a nice work yesterday the Travers, that will have Epicenter Preakness winner early voting, Charge It and Zandon all among those headed toward the Travers, and that's going to be a great race. But let's maybe just start right there with the handicapping part of it. You mentioned Gerrymander, but really this comes up as almost a duel, a rematch, if you will, between Nest and Secret Oath, two fillies that ran in the Triple Crown.
Yeah, Secret Oath is not quite in the same sense, but you get 4-1 on Secret Oath today. Won the Kentucky Oaks, as you mentioned, and then ran against the boys and didn't fare too well. Obviously, D. Wayne Lucas is the story there, the legendary trainer that did not get in much trouble in his career. We'll put it that way. So we'll root for Secret Oath. Ness is 1-2. You might get $3 for $2 on that horse. So that's why I'm trying to beat him with Gerrymandering or Secret Oath. But there's another one in there. Most nostalgic is a Bill Mott horse at 12-1. And Bill Mott usually at 12-1 can shock the world at the Graveyard of Champions. And Nest is titled the champion, so at 1-2, usually Saratoga sees upsets, so I'm not going to bet on Nest.
Yeah, certainly not at that price. No. Graveyard of Favorites, as it's labeled in the Alabama, $600,000 purse for a grade one. This should be, for all of racing, this should be a $1 million race. I mean, it is basically the summer championship for 3-year-old fillies. I mean, they need to up that purse a little bit. Come clean out of that wallet here at Saratoga. Let's go to the race earlier. We talked to Michelle Lovell earlier in the show with Change of Control, who draws the rail. This is a field of 9. I didn't ask her about the weather. We hadn't really done the weather updates. You might have them there, Derby Bill. Spicy Mark is MTO, so it looks like a field of 9. How does change of control do today in the smart and fancy $150,000 stakes race for fillies and mares on the turf?
Yeah, I was listening to Maggie Wolfendale's update, and she said it was hot at Saratoga, 91. I mean, it's always hot when Maggie's there, but 91 is the temperature, if you're looking for the temperature, Nick. The ninth race. Interesting here, the big story today is not besides Chad, is Rosario. He's off all his horses yesterday, and he's off all his horses today, which was Jerry Manning he was supposed to ride. And in this race, Too Sexy, I think he was on to ride. And he doesn't have COVID, according to records, but he's, you know, very sick. So no Joel Rosario in these races, and I'm scrambling to find who's going to ride him, who's going to replace him riding today, because Joel's been on a tear at Saratoga. And Too Sexy's about 5-1, so I like the horse with Rosario up, but we'll see who rides him. And that's, you know, and I like Michelle's horse, of course. I mean, 7-2. She's a lukewarm favorite. And only lukewarm because I'm not up there and you're not up there betting $100 to win on.
Yeah, I don't know if I've made a $100 win bet in my life, but I like to bet small and win big. But yeah, the Lake Placid, a Grade Two, right before that, one of three stakes races on the card. This one going a mile and a 16th. What are your thoughts on this race? That is for 3-year-old fillies.
Yeah, it's a great little pick three you can put together, 8, 9, and 10, if you're watching on TV today. FS2 has the races live. So as usual, the Lake Placid, named after the great Olympic event. So that one's really tough, really tough. With the Moonlight Saez, it's a short field because you had two scratches, Canesti and Cola Princess. So there's only 6 in here. Horse that I have trouble pronouncing that Nick will love me picking is horse called Dolcezel.
Dolcezel. Yep. Okay.
Dolcezel. Okay. Chad Brown's horse, so I'm in a little area of singling it. So I'm going to take 2 horses in each race and go with the pick 3. And I recommend that to your listeners, try pick 3 in these races to get some value if you're using Nest in the middle.
Okay. Bill Parcells won a race this week. Let's Go Big Blue. Lives up there 6 months out of the year. Won a race. George Weaver, the trainer, air canceled the jockey there. What do you think about Parcells, the big tuna, with a win?
Yeah, much better quarterback on the horse than he has with the Giants nowadays. So good to see him winning on the horses, because you can't win betting on the Giants.
Yeah, well, we'll see how Parcells fares for the rest of the meet. That'll do it for Off to the Races this week. Derby Bill, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Summer Derby. And
Derby Bill, legend, the Bill Parcells of horse racing. I want to thank everybody on the show today. Daryl Wood, Michelle Lovell, Paul Espinoza, Frank Vespi will be back next week. And James Flowers, great job on the board. I'm your host, Nick Hahn. We'll talk to you next week. Off to the Races, post time, 10 o'clock.